Good morning. A couple of things you'll see on your outline. There is a different date. That's because it was printed and ready to be handed out last week. Then I fell ill the night before. And thanks to Brother Andre for speaking in my absence last Lord's Day. Also, the lessons that were prepared for today, as I shared with a brother last night, were actually flip-flopped. By that I mean what I had intended to preach this morning, originally, is now tonight's lesson. And what I had originally intended for tonight is now our study this morning. But they both deal with attitude toward the Scriptures. And they fall in line with what we've been talking about for the last several weeks. We looked at finding God's gospel treasure as we looked at the Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts, the 8th chapter. And we talked about what our salvation is worth that evening. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about what the gospel, God's gospel treasure, what it cannot do and what it cannot be. And this morning, we want to talk about and consider together our attitude toward the Scriptures. And if the good Lord wills, tonight at 6 o'clock hour, we will look into our Lord's attitude toward the Scriptures. Now, the text for our study, as you can see, is from Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. And we're going to expand it beyond 5 and 6 to include verses 1 through 12. We're not going to read that in the course of our study, but that will certainly be what we will be looking and referring to. But as leading up to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, we know that the walls of Jerusalem have now been completed, and we know that the people have returned to settle in their homelands. And as Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, begins, we find that it's now the 7th month. I believe that would be Tishri, corresponding with our September to October. And this Feast of Trumpets begins a month of festivals. And to know concerning the feasts and the activities around this time, you can go to Leviticus chapter 23, and you can look there at verses 23, I think through verse 36, but also Numbers 29 to get more information concerning that which we read in our text. But on the 10th day, that was the Day of Atonement, and beginning on the 15th day, and lasting for 7 days, was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, as Nehemiah 8:1 begins, it had come time for the law of God to be read before the people, and this is all according to God's commands. But in this lesson, what I want us to do is look at four things that will demonstrate their attitude toward the Scriptures, and as we consider their attitude, we also will compare our attitude with that of theirs. So what do we see as we begin Nehemiah, the 8th chapter? We see, number one, that they wanted to learn. They wanted to learn. This can be seen in a couple of ways. Number one, by their desire to assemble together. Their desire to assemble together for acceptable worship. Scripture says that that all the people gathered together as one man. Now, where were they coming from? This isn't those coming from within one city. They had already settled in their homelands. These are those, they have a reason and purpose to come together from their cities to assemble for acceptable worship as one man. Well, that gets us to thinking, and a lot of the design and the purpose of our study is to make some points of application here. But do we have their same desire to assemble with the saints? Do we have that same desire? What is our attitude on that those days and the times in which we have been scheduled to come together? What is our attitude toward those days and those times? Well, I want to make some comparisons. I want us to look in Scripture, and it will find, as we assemble together for worship, some seem to have the attitude of the Jews recorded in Malachi 1 verse 13, rather than the Jews recorded in Nehemiah the 8th chapter. Now what Malachi tells us in Malachi 1 and in verse 13, and see if the sandal fits, so to speak, see if this is true of our attitude. You also say, oh, what a weariness. Is that our attitude when on Saturday night when we think, oh, Sunday morning, oh, what a weariness. Do we also, is our attitude that you sneer at it? I would rather be doing this, or I want to be doing that. What is our attitude toward assembling with the saints for the purpose of worshiping Almighty God? Do we come, as Scripture says there in Malachi 1:13, bringing the stolen, the lame, the sick? Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? What is our attitude? Our attitude, friends, ought to be that of David. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Was that our desire this morning? Did we wake up with a gladness, a rejoicing, a happiness to say, hey, this is the day we assemble for worship? What was our attitude? From Nehemiah, we also learned that not only did they desire to assemble together, that they assembled with a united purpose. They assembled with a united purpose, which was to learn what God had revealed to them so that they could obey Him and be pleasing to Him. That was what their desire. They wanted to learn. They wanted to assemble. They wanted to listen to what God had to say to them so that they could obey Him and be pleasing to Him. That's evident. How do I know? Because they said, they asked for what? They asked for the book. Chapter 8, verse 1. They asked for the book. And it's interesting to notice some of the things for which they did not ask. They did not ask for Ezra's opinion. They did not ask for what their fathers thought about God's word. They didn't even look to make their own laws. All that they did was they wanted the word of God. They asked for the book. Well, brethren, when we assemble, we don't assemble to be entertained. We're not here to be entertained. We do not assemble for entertainment. We assemble to be edified. We assemble to be encouraged. We assemble to be strengthened in our faith. That is our purpose, and that is what God's desire is. That we come together to be edified. And so let us come together, and our attitude needs to be, when we come into worship, let us ask for the book. What does God have to say to us? Our attitude when we come to worship ought to be that as recorded in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another. You see, worship is not just that which is self-centered. This is what it is for me, but what it means for others. What my presence ought to mean for others. My presence ought not just to be strengthened and edified personally and in a personal attempt to glorify God. That is definitely a reason, but it's not the entire reason. My presence ought to be such that is an encouragement to you, that strengthens you, that builds you up. That's our purpose. And so much the more as what? You see the day approaching. That needs to be our attitude when we assemble together. Secondly, we can see that the Jews wanted to learn by their willingness to give God's word their time and attention. What does the scripture say in Nehemiah 8 and verses 1 through 3? You'll find the phrase, and the people were attentive to the book of the law. The phrase from morning literally from the light to midday, that is an amount of time that's approximately 6 hours. From the light to midday, approximately 6 hours. And as we said before, the Feast of Tabernacles lasted for 7 days, and the law was read each day. We see that also in Nehemiah 8, verse 18. But this is certainly a demonstration of their commitment and their respect for God's Word. Now, my question is, what is the depth of our desire to learn? What is the depth of our desire to learn? What are we willing to give God's Word by way of our time, by way of our attention? Think about this. What does that willingness of our time and attention to God's Word, what does that reveal about our attitude? Do we take advantage of the opportunity to learn by attending Bible class? These are opportunities for us to learn. If we're going to be like the Jews of which we read in Nehemiah chapter 8, those who wanted to learn, we're going to look forward to opportunities to learn. And Bible class is an opportunity to learn. And when we attend Bible class, are we prepared for Bible class? And when we're in that Bible class, are we attentive to the lesson? What is our desire to learn? Are we attentive to, here's this guy, here's his born because of my name. Are we attentive to the preaching? Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we following along in our Bibles? Are we writing notes? Don't assume because someone stands behind this pulpit that someone's proclaiming truth. Never, ever assume. Always examine. Search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Acts 17, verse 11. Are we attentive? Are we listening to the lesson? And aside from the public opportunities of learning, what is our personal Bible study? What is our personal Bible reading habits? What does that reveal toward Scripture, our attitude toward Scripture? And what I mean by that is today the only day of this week that we're going to open up the Scriptures? Is this hour the only hour of this week that we're going to open up the Scriptures? What is the depth of our desire to learn? Are we reading our Bibles daily? Are we meditating on God's Word day and night? And then are we putting forth the extra effort when we read God's Word? You know, sometimes you have those middle columns and sometimes they're on the bottom page of your Bible. You have cross references. Are we putting forth the extra effort to study, not just to read? And there's a difference. Giving God's Word our time and our attention, it's necessary. Why? It's necessary, number one, to build faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. And how important is faith? It's impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Giving God's Word our time and our attention is not only necessary to build faith, it's necessary just to grow as newborn babies. Let us desire the pure milk of the Word that we may grow thereby, 1 Peter 2, 2. Giving God's Word our time and attention, it's necessary for us to become teachers, which God expects not only of me as a gospel preacher, but as you, of you as a member of the Lord's church, as a member of His family. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, reading verse 13. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the first principles of the oracle of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. But everyone who partakes only of milk is what? Is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Giving God's Word our time and our attention is important. It's necessary for us to be able to discern good from evil, truth from error. And that's what Hebrews 5:14 says. It says solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, to be able to distinguish both good and evil. Now going back to Nehemiah, who was assembled together? Who were standing up for approximately 6 hours each day for 7 days? The record says men and women and all who could hear with understanding. Those are the age of accountability. If you can hear with understanding. You see, all those of the age of accountability ought to be working toward coming into this assembly, being a part of this assembly, and being able to exercise proper respect for God and His Word. That's every goal of a parent as they're raising their children. And that's our responsibility as those of accountable age. When it comes to our attitude toward worship and other opportunities for Bible study, I want you to think about this. Who is least enthused when a baseball game goes into extra innings? Who's least enthused when a football game goes into overtime? Now, who's least enthused at the length of a sermon? Think about that. And something about those who know me, you know that I'm a fan of sports. Apparently you know it well. But ask yourself this. I ask myself, who's willing to endure total and absolute brutal weather conditions to watch a ball game? But then we complain about the temperature and the seating in this building that protects us from nature's elements. What is our attitude? These are some things we need to call into check. Things that we need to consider as we seek to be pleasing to God. The words of Matthew 6:21 are very strong. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. These Jews in Nehemiah 8, they wanted to learn. What about us? Number two, not only did they want to learn, they gave God's word respect. They gave it respect. Now their respect is seen in a number of ways. Number one, their preparation for hearing of God's word. Ezra 8:4 says, Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. This assembly that we read about in Nehemiah 8 was a planned event. It was a planned event for which the people made preparations. They were ready to listen. They were ready to learn. And what did that open? That opened the door for them to be ready to obey. And then also we understand that those in the leadership position, Ezra and those who were there to help him, they too were prepared. And then when you talk about Ezra and preparedness, who could not think about Ezra 7:10? For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel its statutes and ordinances. Ezra 7:10. So what kind of preparations did we make for today's assembly? Today's assembly, it's a planned event, right? Called an assembly. What preparations did we make for today's assembly? Does it demonstrate respect for God and for His Word? If at all possible, did we get to bed at a reasonable hour last night? if at all possible. As we mentioned before, were we properly prepared for Bible class this morning? And were we are on time? And I know we talk about this and I'm stomping on my toes myself. We're on time for games. We're on time for movies. We're on time for work. We need to be on time for Bible class and worship. And brother, I'm not saying anything to you that I'm not saying to myself. I'm crippled right now. I'm stomping on my toes. And those who are leading in worship, they also need to be personally and publicly prepared to serve. And I like what our men do now, gathering together and having a prayer prior to service. Getting everything ready mentally and emotionally. To the best of our ability, whatever our preparations have been in the past, as we move forward, let's make better preparations. Let us get plenty of rest before times and days of assembly. Get plenty of rest. And then and get up on time. And when I say get up on time, I'm talking about making preparations for personal time. Time, we need to, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Let's prepare our heart to come together for Bible study. Let's prepare our heart to come together for worship. Prayer and meditation. Let's get in the right mindset when we come to worship. Get your morning nourishment. Get morning nourishment. Sometimes that preacher goes a little long. You know, strive to arrive on time. Go to the restroom, get your drink of water. Make sure your phone's on silent or maybe turned off. And as much as is possible, you're doing anything and everything to not be a distraction to others. We understand the best of plans fail. You may make all the plans in the world to not be a distraction, and sometimes things happen, and that's okay. But the reality is, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Make preparation to the best of our ability. Let's be ready to focus and concentrate on the message. Be attentive to the word. Secondly, their respect was shown in their actions. Boy, howdy, are we glad that the custom maybe is different somewhat today. Ezra opened the book of the law and what? All the people stood up. Now we know to stand at a gathering is to show respect. We do this at weddings when the bride comes down the aisle. We do this at graduation as they're coming in to be seated. Sometimes we do it if there's a speaker or a group that's receiving honors or whatnot. The reality is we know to stand is a show of respect. Well, what other actions reveal their respect for God and His Word? Well, the people responded to Ezra's praising God by saying, Amen, Amen. Amen means what? So be it, or truth. So if they're saying Amen, Amen, what are they doing? They're paying attention to what is read. Not only did they respond, but they remained in their place as the law was being explained. So, question is, do our actions in the assembly, do they demonstrate that we respect God and that we respect His Word? So as we examine that, as we think about that, where is the position of our heart? Where is our thinking? Things temporal or things eternal? Where is our focus? What are we thinking on? This very second, this very moment, that thought in your head, is it on things temporal or is it on things eternal? Can our respect for God and His Word be seen in our participation in worship? Worship for man is not a spectator event. God is the only spectator. So if we're showing respect to God, we're not occupying space on a pew. We're fulfilling a place in worship and we're participating. Participate. in worship. And as much as is possible, remain in place just like they did. Remain in place. Listen carefully. Participating enthusiastically. There are a number of passages to think about as we assemble together and what our attitude must be when God's Word is being taught. Leviticus 10 verse 3. Listen to this. By those who come near me, this is God, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. How can we do that if we're not focusing? If we're not participating, if we're goofing off, playing around. Psalm 89 verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by those around him. Parents are watching, other members are watching. Most importantly, God is watching. And what does God think about our conduct? You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which what? By which we may serve God. How? Acceptably, with reverence, when we assemble together, it must, friends, it must be as God prescribed. It must be. The hour is coming, and now is, Scripture says, when the true worshipers, if there is a true worshiper, there's a vain worshiper. If there's a true worshiper, there's a false worshiper. And God is seeking true worshipers to worship Him, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. John 4, 23 and 24. If when you assemble for worship, how the Lord regards those efforts. Scripture says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Whenever God's word is read or taught, let it be that we give it respect. Number three, the Jews of Nehemiah 8, they sought understanding. They sought understanding. Nehemiah 8:12, they understood the reading. When it comes to hearing God's word, whether in a private setting or in a public assembly, we need to know this. We need to know what the Scripture says. When we're engaged in a study, we need to know what the Scripture says as opposed to what man says. Paul said, preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. When the Scriptures are read and when they are taught, we are not to be satisfied until we have clearly understood what we read or what we heard. And about some of those things, I'm reminded of what Peter said about some of Paul's writings in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. He said, you know, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved Paul, brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people, they twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter, what are you saying? Some things in Scripture may be difficult to understand. Not impossible to know. But it's going to take a little extra work. The scripture is its own best commentary. The scripture will explain scripture. But don't go away. Make sure you put forth the extra effort. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Sadly, many pulpits across the land, even within churches of Christ today, are being used to entertain, to tell jokes and to tell stories, rather than to teach, actually preaching and teaching the Word of God. And consequently what? People by the masses remain untaught, and they don't know what the Bible actually teaches. And the devil, friends, the devil and his false teachers pray. For the benefit of those online, pray P-R-E-Y, not P-R-A-Y. But the devil and his false teachers prey on the uneducated. They feast on the uneducated. False teachers make our work more difficult because it's a lot more effort to have to clean up a mess than it is just to start from scratch. Number four, and finally, they obeyed it. All the people wept when they heard the words of the law, Nehemiah 8:9. As you read in verses 10 through 12, the people did as they were instructed. Based on the words of the law, listen now, based on the words of the law, they made some corrections. They began to keep the feast days. Nehemiah 9 will tell you that they repented of their sins. And listen to this. Their obedience to God's word went beyond what was easy to obey and went to what was difficult to obey, but their obedience was the same. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, in their repentance, they were willing to put away their pagan wives. As difficult as that must have been, they sought to obey God more than themselves and man. As we begin to draw to a close, many times we emphasize the need and the importance of obedience, and rightly so. But it is possible, listen, it is probable, it is even certain that there are some right now who believe and are obedient to their beliefs and will die in that state, but they will be lost eternally. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, as you're familiar with verses 1 through 12, and you see there, these Jews were obedient. Yes. Obedient to what? They were obedient to the words of the law. They were obedient to the word of God. Jesus, friends, listen, Jesus speaks of those who believe and are obedient to their beliefs, but who will be lost. You say, where does he say that? Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, you're religious. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, shall we enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus here is alluding to people who obviously believe that God is. Why? Because they said, Lord, Lord. They believe God is, but they're deceived. They're deceived because they're obeying the commandments of men, as we read in Matthew 15, verse 9. These are people involved in denominations. Those involved in denominations who are faithfully practicing their man-made doctrines. They believe, and they're obedient to their beliefs, but Jesus says, you're still going to be lost. Because you're not religiously right. These people are also those who believe and are obedient to man's philosophy and empty deceit. Those who are wrapped up in Islam. Those who are wrapped up in Buddhism, Hinduism, and every other ism. I want you to understand this. If you get nothing out of this lesson, I failed, but I want you to know this. Misdirected obedience is nothing short of disobedience. Misdirected obedience. It's nothing short of disobedience. Our prayer this morning is that we'll all be obedient to the Word of God. And that we'll do as James says. What did James say? He said, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, as we draw to a close, what is our attitude toward the Scriptures? What's our attitude? Do we hunger and thirst for it? Do we prepare ourselves to receive it? Do we hold it in reverence? Do we sincerely and genuinely seek to understand it? And are we willing to be obedient to it? I can't say a better way to close a lesson than what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we extend the invitation. Keep these words in mind. God is willing and God is ready to receive you. If there are those here this morning who are not yet in God's family, you have an opportunity to be baptized into Christ, into God's family. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the remission of your sins, you have the opportunity to have come in as an alien sinner and to walk out as a saint with the blessed hope of heaven. If you are redeemed in Christ, baptized into Christ, but you strayed from the faith, you've lost salvation. But get it back by responding in obedience, by repenting and being restored right with God. If you have a need of any kind, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and together we sing.